you know, went to work there and stayed there till 1986. But there was changing also. Bureau of Indian Affairs, law enforcement, there was changing also, you know. In order to advance in any kind of position, you know, from a captain, or a lieutenant to a captain or a criminal investigator, or whatever that you want to, you know, go up the steps, the ladder, then you had to apply at another place, you know, like in Aberdeen or Albuquerque or, you know, Billings, Phoenix or Portland. Those were the area offices that you applied at. So if there was any opening within their area, then if you were selected, then you went to work there. You know. But it's all competitive also. So, but I enjoyed working up in Nevada. You know, there's a lot of people, different enforcement agencies that was up there in Elko. You know, they had the, you know, they had the state police and the state patrol, and then they had the motor vehicle people, and they had, you know, Department of Narcotics and Drugs, you know. They had just all kinds of enforcement people up there, you know. So it was good, because our dispatch, we didn't have no dispatch up there at that time either, you know. But our dispatch was through the central dispatch system. So because they dispatched for this, you know, for the higher patrol and motor vehicle and all the other agencies.
Yeah. Around.
So that was our dispatch system, so we used that. And we also, we didn't have no jail up there, but we had contracted with the Elko County Sheriff's Department where they housed our prisoners. You know. And the court system was run basically as the Indian courts, you know, the Code of Federal Regulations courts that they had. So, and their judges were, you know, what we call them, magistrates, you know, CFR magistrates. You know. So they were, you know, if they sentenced anybody who was up to 6 months or, you know, was it $1,000 in 6 months, you know,
yeah,
or both. So, and if somebody had violated two violations, they could easily spend a year in jail, you know.
Yeah.
We're given a maximum sentence of $2,000 and 6 months apiece for each violation that you're found guilty on, you know. So they could spend a whole year in jail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but we had a jail up in Owyhee in the Duck Valley Reservation. And that was a Bureau of Indian Affairs jail. It was run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We had Indian Affairs police officers up there, and the person that took care of it was a captain up there. I only, as a lieutenant, took care of on the southern part of the Eastern Reservation with those satellite reservations around it. Had five or six people that worked in those small reservations or colonies, you might call them. So it was my duty to go out and visit with them or go see them, you know,
yeah,
at least once a week, you know, maybe. And it was, I think the closest one was, well, right there in Elko was the closest one. The next one was 15 miles away to Wells. The other one was 30 miles down to South Fork, and then Battle Mountain was 80 miles, you know, and then Wendover and Goshute down there was 180 or something like that, and then Ely was 210, and Duckwater was 260, you know, so I had to make my rounds down through there, you know. So it took me almost a week just to
do all that driving,
go check up on these people, see how they're doing. But every other week we had them come in, you know, bring their reports in, so they would all come down and would have a meeting there, and they turn their reports in and I'd check them out, and in another 2 weeks they would be back, and those that needed to go back to them, you know, I just kept them in a file and said, well, you know, look in your box and I'll take them back home and correct them, whatever. That was my job, you know, as a supervisor, to keep everything, all the records and things. Make sure everything was okay, and check the jails, and, you know, check the downtown, see how these guys have been treated, or whatever, you know. It's just a lot of work, a lot of driving. But we also, you know, were deputized as Elko County deputies, and we worked also in Lander County, so we were deputized there. We were worked over over in Goshute was in Utah in Tooele County, so we were deputized as there. As we had our other colonies down in Ely, and they were in White Pine County, so we were deputized there. And there was another one, Humboldt County. You know, we helped them sometimes, so we're deputized from Humboldt County. And then part of the Duck Valley Reservation was in Idaho, you know, and there were, I forget what county there was. But their main office was in Boise, or in Montcalm. And so we're deputized up there. So we carried maybe about 6 or 7 deposition cards with us. You know.
Yeah.
But still being as federal police officers, you know, they said, well, you really don't need this card, but, you know, to make sure that if there's any kind of questions, you know, you would have that.
Yeah.
The full enforcement powers of, as the rest of the as deputies. You know. So we worked with them. They needed help. We went to assist them, you know. They called us, and we used our equipment, and they would go down and would help them. You know. So there's no compensation. There's just a kind of a agreement that we had entered with the counties that we would help them. That's been there, you know, has been deputies for that particular incident that was happening within that particular time. And so we worked with the Highway Patrol in Nevada also, you know. As we were going from Elko to Battle Mountain, Elko to out towards Salt Lake to Wendover, you know, we helped them patrol that area through there as we were going through, you know. And any of the highways, you know, we helped them patrol those areas also, you know, as we were going through. You know. So any violations that occurred that we seen, we were able to stop, and you know, the truck drivers used to get mad at us because they said, who in the hell are you? You know, you're not highway patrol or anything like that. Yeah, but we're, you know, we have that authorization to do that because this is United States highway and within the United States. So they used to take our name down the, who in the hell is your boss? And so, you know, at that time, Reagan was the president. I told him, well, you know, call up the White House and Reagan's our president, our boss, you know, because he is the boss of the whole, you know, being a president. You know. So, and they go down there and raise hell with, you know, Highway Patrol and everybody down there and says, you know, these people didn't have the right stop me. And their comeback was, yeah, they have every right to do it because they are federal officers within the territorial limits of the United States. So, you know, you either pay it or we'll have an arrest for you, a warrant for you.
Yeah.
So, especially those truck drivers from back east in order to really have a hard time dealing with that. And that, you know, damn Indians are stopping us, you know, and giving us citations and things like that. But it was all right. So, worked there for a while, then, you know, I moved up to Waihee and stayed there for about 2 years, you know, Waihee, and then 85, Bureau had changed, you know, in 2 years' time, and I figured, well, time to move on, you know, time to do something else. So I quit, resigned from the BI, law enforcement. Anyway, I had put in with my service time and also working with the Bureau of Indian Affairs prior to 1963. I accumulated 14 years with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, you know, and basically 10 years of that was as law enforcement. And also working with the tribe, you know, 5, 6, 7 years at a time, you know. Came back in 1986. In 1987, went to work with the Southern Ute Fish and Game, the Wildlife Department, and stayed with them until What year is this, 1995? 93, I think. I transferred over to this office here. So those are the times that I was spending in the enforcement. I wouldn't really recommend anybody going into law enforcement unless they really felt this is, you know, the need. So in all, you know, since 1963 up until 1993 or 94, I put in almost 30 years in law enforcement, you know, working for different departments now. Basically, all the experience and total time I had in law enforcement would be, you know, most of that was with the tribe here. You know, and 14 years with the Bureau and the Bureau of Indian Affairs. That's, I guess, the two enforcement agencies that I worked with the most, you know, other than a short stint with Colorado State Patrol Police, you know. I don't even count that anymore. But the tribe and the Bureau is the one that I worked with basically for the last 30 years, you know, in enforcement, you know, working as a police officer and a supervisor and the captain and acting chief of police and whatever, you know, lieutenant. It was an experience that I gained that if you decide that you want to dedicate yourself like I did in law enforcement, I enjoyed it. Learned a lot from it, and seeing how it grew from just a few people with no dispatch to where it is today, you know.
Yeah.
But back in the early 60s, you know, we used to, if we had anybody that was incarcerated in our jail up here in the tribal jail, we used that person as our dispatcher. So, the person that was incarcerated was our dispatcher, you know. We'd go down and wake him up, hey, you know, take care of our radios while we're out and on patrol, you know. And they'd say, okay, yeah, we could do that. So that helped them toward their early release also, and kind of like an early type of a work program for them.
Yeah.
So, we'd tell that to the judge, you know, next time, well, you know, well, what's his name here, you know, helped us out by being a dispatcher for the time that we need to be out on a call. And sometimes we would have it, they went with us, and we'd tell them, can we get up? You know, let's go. We're going to go pick up some dead animals or whatever. We needed your help or assistance. We have nobody. So if we were on from 6 to 3, that was it. You know, after 5 o'clock or maybe after midnight or after 9 o'clock, nobody but you. And if you needed help, you got one of the prisoners to help you. You know, that was understanding we had with the chief police and everybody else. You know, if you need help, get one of the prisoners to go out and help you. You know, cold or direct traffic or whatever. You know, so some of these old prisoners be out there directing traffic. You know. And also, we didn't have no ambulance service at that time either. You know, the Ignacio Ives wasn't there then. So basically, we were the whole thing right there at that time. You know. So, I remember some nights that, you know, some expectant mother calling us and saying, you know, I'm going to deliver here pretty soon and I need to get to Durango to the hospital, you know. And we go down and pick him up and say, okay, as long as you don't have the baby. But we have been trained in first aid and all that, you know, childbirth and things like that, you know. But to actually do it, I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But there were several times that we had to do it. We had to stop on the side of the road and deliver the baby in the backseat of the police car.
Yes.
And those experiences, something I'll never forget, you know, because I had that first knowledge of, you know, saying, okay, well, you know, mama, let the baby come, you know, deliver the baby here. And the ambulance from Durango would, you know, finally show up there, and sometime, you know, the best place to have babies was, seems like it was between Elmore's and the airport. In that area that alone, I think I delivered 4 babies
really?
In that area right there. The closest one I ever got to was Elmore Store, and that was the parking lot right there in Elmore's Candy. You know, them kids today are still alive, you know. They're still around. Those are the experiences I had. And, you know, I guess being in law enforcement, you see a lot of things that happens, you know, to a person. You know, there's stress that goes, you know, at that time there was no stress, and nobody knew the traumas of stress, you know, that you would go through as a person, you know, whether you're a family member or, you know, or anything like that. And fortunately, you know, during that time, you know, my family was kind of real understanding that this was my job, and, you know, didn't interfere in there or anything like that. And if I had to get up late at night and say, well, I got to go on call, so as long as you make it back, you know.
Yeah.
Those were, you know, but, you know, they said, you know, we don't need to know what you did out there. We don't need to, you know, I don't need to hear the ugliness of, you know, how people get, you know.
Yeah.
The horror stories, or, you know, if it's good stories, you know, fine. If it's, you know, other than that, we don't hear it, you know. But it was a learning experience all the way through, you know. And I think that there's different types of training has also helped me in the job that I'm doing now, you know. You know, went to 2 years of college in Oakland, you know, in administration of justice, you know, in 2.5 years, you know. But, you know, that was the only time that I could take off, was 2 years from the tribe, you know, on education leave, you know, at that time, you know. But if it was anything now, I'd probably go, you know, go to public community college, you know, or to finish and get my degree or whatever, you know. That's then. I'm working in the, you know, I like this job, being a historian. You know, but all the training I had, I think, has helped me.
Yeah.
You know, kind of to just ask questions and investigate, and, you know, try to find out what people are doing and what people have been doing or had done. You know, and, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, a lot of work. You know, this is just a tip of the iceberg, you might call it, you know. You know, I haven't even got to see a lot of the libraries yet, and a lot of the books, and a lot of the research that needs to be done. You know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot. I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'll, you know, do this long enough, or, you know, besides going out to other people and trying to tell them about the history of the Utes, you know, tell them who we are, where we came from, and things like that. You know, it's a lot besides, you know, working, you know, like with you, you know, and also with the colleges and schools and, you know, the government people and all the laws that's been passed, like the Native American Grave Protection Repatriation Act, you know, and ERPA, and, you know, working with Section 106 under the National Preservation of Historical, you know, Act, and all that, you know. It is a lot, you know. And I'm the only person in here. You know, there's nobody else.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, trying to have all these irons and these fires, you know, it's just kind of, you know, kind of exciting in a way, but at the same time, it's real hard, you know. But I'm enjoying it, you know. I think I'll do it for a while. So that's the story of who I was, and especially in law enforcement, you know, that was good. Okay.